We'll ask our next guest. It is Mr. Michael Farber. You can watch him today on said reporter show, at MichaelFarber3 on Twitter, and of Sports Illustrated. Good morning, Michael. How are you?
Good morning. I'm terrific.
Is that the biggest hockey story going on for you right now, Michael, whether or not NHL players participate in the Olympics?
Well, it is for a lot of players. I was doing some work at the All-Star Game for NBC, for whom I'm a consultant. We asked that question. And everybody says, yeah, we really want to go. And if it matters that much to so many players, and it matters to fans, I'm not sure we can go back to the days of 1994, as great a goal as Peter Forsberg scored against Corey Hirsch. We want to see NHL players, and they want to go. And Gary Bettman's a great negotiator. He might be playing this out to see how much he can extract and what he can get. I am a remaining optimist. I believe the NHL can cherry-pick Olympics if they say no to Korea and yes to China. I doubt that the IIHF and IOC will say, no, you didn't go to Korea, so we're not going to let you here. No, they would want NHL players. So the notion as well, you just can't choose your Olympics, is nonsense. I'd say it's probably 60-40 against right now, but I'm part of the 40% that think it will happen.
Bettman said that it wasn't on the agenda when the owners met over the weekend, and said he brought it up and they talked about it for about 10 seconds. Do you buy that?
Yeah, I do, because nothing really has changed, and he keeps them updated routinely. Right from the beginning, Mike, there's been an inability to monetize the Olympics, is starting with Nagano in 98. The league's never figured out a way. But if you look where this thing is headed, it's going to be back in North America, and that's very important for the league. So after Beijing in 2022, 2026 is going to have a North American Winter Olympics. There is no doubt in my mind of that. And you want to be part of that. The time zone kills the NHL. But you saw a couple years ago, Leafs executives went to China trying to do some business. Recently, Bill Daly was over there. China's a big market for them. It's not a great hockey country. If you go to the north, there's a city called Harbin where most of the hockey interest is. But you're talking $1.4 billion, is it now?
Yeah.
You want to be open to that market.
But that's why I'm a little confused why they wouldn't, when they were all together over the weekend, at least discuss this a little bit and talk about that potential that is there. I mean, you talk about the size of the market, and not just in China, but in Southeast Asia, and where they have a ton of rinks. I mean, we see the success of short track speed skating in some of these countries. And yet, hockey really hasn't taken off. Boy, what an opportunity to grow your game. And is it worth the $10 million investment?
Well, you look at what the owners see. They see February as prime time. The NFL is gone.
Mm-hmm.
That's when they are going to do their best business. And to break for what amounts 3 weeks, because there's significant travel involved, to shutter your league, to help out the five-ring circus, doesn't appeal to them unless they can see something tangible short term.
But at the same time, Michael, and let me know if I'm wrong on this. I know the commissioner represents the owners. That's
right.
Quite clear. But shouldn't he also be a mediator between the owners and the players? Because quite clearly, the people that make the game what it is, the Connor McDavids, the Sidney Crosbys, the Alexander Ovechkins of the world, they want to play. And the lack of ability to wiggle or move towards what their players want just shows where his allegiance stands, and that's not what a commissioner, in my opinion, should be. Because a commissioner should not only represent the owners, but represents the players, represents the game, and its fans. And the only ones that seemingly don't want to go to these Olympics are the owners, and that's not fair to everyone else involved.
Well, that's the ideal world you're describing, and that's not the world the commissioners live in, no matter what they say. You go to a soft focus All-Star Game weekend, and you see all the top 100 players, and it was a wonderful time, and there's a connection with fans. But it's still a bottom-line business. It's we talk about the game in Canada as a trust. It belongs to the people. Well, it does, but the National Hockey League version of that game belongs to the owners. What really concerns me is if the NHL says, no, we're not going to go, and say Ted Leonsis, Ovechkin can go, and say Nick Backstrom, do you want to go and you play for Sweden? I'm fine with that. I believe in the integrity of the games in the league. And if you are sending Ovechkin for 3 weeks to Korea, you could say, well, he might have been hurt, too. So what does it matter? You know, we've lived without him for times before, although not that many times. What does that do if you are the Toronto Maple Leafs and you are playing the Washington Capitals with Ovechkin, and then you are the Ottawa Senators and you are playing the Capitals with Ovechkin? What does that do? I think it puts the owners in a very tight spot because the players are straining to go, and Leonsis has made his views known. So what does that do to the integrity of the game? That's what I see as a problem down the road.
Great question. Michael Farber joining us here on Game Day. I'm Wheeler. He's Hogan. What about the overall health of the game today, Michael? Like, there's still some very soft markets out there, although the league is expanding. The product on the ice, some people say it's great. Others believe there's holes in the product. The point system is something that jumps off the page that needs to be fixed but doesn't seem like it will be. What's your take of where the game is at overall?
Well, let's look at two franchises. Carolina's for sale. We've known that for a while. Now we know that Peter Karmanos wants to sell it entirely, or would. He's certainly open to that. Gary Bettman shut down Quebec City, and I think that's unfortunate because I think Quebec City could provide a Winnipeg-like boost to the NHL and revive a great rivalry with the Montreal Canadiens. The other thing, though, that really came out to me was what's going on in Brooklyn with the bad ice, and that the ownership there has to study its options, and that's a paraphrase. It's not a quote. Nassau Coliseum is being refurbished. It will reopen as a 13,000 or so seat arena. Could we see the Islanders leave Brooklyn to go back to the island in an incredibly small rink by NHL standards, smaller than the MTS Center in Winnipeg? So that's what I saw about it. The larger picture is a very interesting one because the players are no doubt better than they've ever been at any time in the history of the game. Is the game better? I don't think so. I'll put it to you this way. When you go to a game now, you really hope something happens, something memorable jumps out at you. If you looked at the game, oh, let's pick a year, 30 years ago, say in the 80s when the rivalries were real genuine, when teams were playing each other eight times within their divisions, you were disappointed if nothing happened because there was, you know, there would be a dozen goals. You might see a fight. You might see a momentary outburst of idiocy. You might see something. And now you don't have that. The game was played with a certain degree, and I hesitate to use this word, but I will, menace. I don't see that now.
Totally agree.
And it added an edge to the games. And the players weren't as good, with obvious exceptions. But I think in many cases the games were better. Now we say, well, the games are closer. Yeah, they are. But we don't have dynasty teams anymore because of the salary cap. And we don't have the kinds of rivalries that we once did.
Well put, Michael. You can watch him on The Reporters today at 4:30 on TSN. Please say hello to Mr. Hodge for us, okay?
Hey, Garrett, thanks. Mike, thanks.
Thanks, Michael.
Thanks, Michael.